Welcome, everyone, to the Accelerate Associates Success Circle call. This is the high content call. Welcome, all new members. Really do appreciate you being here. And also, of course, the existing members, delighted you could be here this evening. We're going to get started on the call. And just want to welcome everyone. We've got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of stuff to cover today, and I'll try not to go as fast. I know some of you had said, okay, Lisa, it's like turning on a fire hose and trying to take notes. So I'll try to slow it up a bit so that for those of you who are taking notes. But remember, you can catch the high content calls and the Q&A calls in the audio library of the Success Circle. So if you miss it or you miss parts or you zone out sometimes because you're thinking about something, and feel free to listen to it in the Success Circle. But first, I want to also mention a little bit about the high content call. Remember, every second Tuesday of the month, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the high content call, which goes over an area or subject on the Entrepreneurial Edge system. So we expand upon it. It also could cover a topic that many of you are dealing with, so I'll expand upon it in the high content call. The Q&A call, which the next one is February 22nd at 4:30, so if you don't have it written in your calendars, you might want to use the recurring function of your calendar to put in the fourth Tuesday of the month, which is the Q&A call. Now, the Q&A call is designed for you. It's a group coaching call where you get the opportunity to ask any question that you have about your business. It could be a marketing question. It could be, it could be a question about, I go through like behavioral traits quite a bit, because it will affect everything in your business. And so some of you who are new to behavioral traits, just have a question about that, maybe your own, as well as any question about growing your business. It could be list building, whatever the case may be. We've had a lot of questions that came in, so the whole Q&A is designed to coach you through that process. Now, if you can't come live, although it's ideal if you come live so I can actually live coach you through the call, then submit your question and feel free to put your name, although if you want it more on a confidential basis, I'd certainly respect that, so I can kind of keep your, maybe just your first name and last initial, which is fine. But again, it's there. It's designed to help you get any question that you have about growing your business answered. And of course, the laser coaching calls, which occur on the second Tuesday of the month, same day as these high content calls. And all you need to do is email info@accelerateassociates.com for any of that, to submit your question, to sign up for a laser coaching call. Just submit your question to info@accelerateassociates.com. That's E-X-C-E-L-L-E-R-A-T-E, associates.com. And we'll get your question answered. Some upcoming events are March 4th, if you're in the area of Michigan, we're having the networking event of the year, which is sponsored by Referral Institute, Marketing Monsoon, Local Business Network, as well as ION Strategic Partners. And it's going to be a very big networking event. It's free, and you can sign up at http://tinyurl.com/network, and then the number is 121. So that's tinyurl.com/network, and then the number is 121. And that will get you to the sign-up page to register. Also, I will be presenting how to seal the deal 98% of the time. So definitely something, if you're in the Michigan area on March 4th, you definitely want to attend that networking event. It is is limited. So we only have about, well, we have less than 80, but we have 80 total spots available for that session, but we only have, I think, maybe 50 left. So you'll definitely want to register right away to reserve your spot. Some other upcoming events, March 8th, remember that's your next high content call at 4:30, and March 22nd next month, which is the next the Q&A call in March, but the next Q&A is February 22nd. So let's get started with today's high content call, which is how to get everything on your plate done, or how to get everything done on your plate when you how to get everything done when you have a lot on your plate. That was a mouthful. And it's really easy to get into this mode where you're trying to put out a lot of fires and you have an influx of new business and you're wondering, how can I keep up with this? A lot of it has to do with internal systemization, I find, there could be some scheduling efficiencies that could be made, and some of them are scheduling errors. So I'm going to talk today about some scheduling errors and how to avoid them. Also, your behavioral traits, and I talk a lot about this, but it does have a lot to do with how well you are able to manage when a lot is thrown at you. Some of it's the infrastructure, some of it's systematizing, but a lot of it has to do with your behavioral traits. Why? Because when we get under stress, we will revert back to our natural behavioral traits or motivational drivers or hardwiring, and I sometimes use those words interchangeably. And then I'm also going to, one of the tools that I've used throughout my career that's extremely effective in managing my time, I'm going to share that tool with you. It not only will help you facilitate meetings, in all kinds of meetings, whether it's with your clients, whether it's with a committee or groups of people, there's nothing worse than getting off on tangents and not getting things accomplished during your meetings. So what I'm going to show you today is not only available in the Success Circle, so you can actually get the template in the Success Circle document library. It'll be in the document library. But I'm going to explain that tool because it's so effective in managing your time, your schedule, and your energy throughout that meeting, no matter what behavioral trait that you are and whatever behavioral trait the person is that you're meeting with. So the first thing I'd like to do is go through some of the scheduling errors. So think about, as I'm going through some of these, what are some of those improvements that you can make? I mean, scheduling, sometimes you'll get into the mode, especially if you're naturally wired to accommodate, to help other people, and you'll cram everything in. So if you're naturally wired to want to accommodate other people, you're going to have tendencies of over-scheduling yourself. And sometimes there's more efficient ways to do that. So let's go through some of the scheduling errors. The first one is people generally won't cluster their time. Now, what do I mean by clustering time? Well, sometimes they'll have one client on Monday, then another on Tuesday. And this is typically with types of coaches, whether you're a coach or a consultant and you meet with clients maybe over the phone, there's a lot of synergy when you're in coaching mode to have a succession of time that you're devoting to coaching. And it helps you to organize your time, but also sets an expectation, too, with your clients that you have certain days of the week or certain times in which you hold your coaching sessions. This could also work for therapists and others. Because when you have a consistent time frame, it's a lot easier for your clients also. They'll get into that routine, they'll get into your system, and you'll notice that there's a lot more momentum and you can keep focused because you have that focus time with your clients. So clustering time is a real great way of providing customer service, providing the coaching, but also in making your time more efficient. The other thing with clustering your time is you can also devote specific time to certain things, whether it's proposals or getting out bids that people are asking you for or things like that. And again, some focus time helps you then create built-in focus and accountability too. So you know you have to get something done by a certain time. So think about all the different ways that you can cluster your time. So maybe you take clients on Mondays or Fridays or Tuesdays or Thursdays and think about it from that perspective. There's always ways that you can cluster your time. Now, also think about, this gets to another area, but think about clustering your time when you're doing errands too. So that's just kind of another way of creating some efficiencies. The other scheduling error, the second scheduling error, I find a lot of times that my clients schedule too tightly. So it's, you know, it's this, you know, this meeting, go right to that meeting, to right to that meeting, without any breathing space in between. What I suggest is if you can, leave an hour or even a half hour after a meeting. And the ideal is you can look at any items that come out of that meeting. If you have an extra space on the tail end, you can then do those to-do items and follow up very quickly right after that meeting while it's fresh in your mind. But if you're going to meeting to meeting to meeting and you're piling up all those to-dos, it's going to feel overwhelming for you. So think about, even if it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 20 minutes, maybe it's a half hour before, half hour after, again, giving yourself and padding your schedule a little bit sometimes helps, especially when you have the tendency of scheduling too tightly. The third scheduling error is people don't necessarily systematize, and I know you hear me say that all the time, but again, using the recurring scheduling feature on your calendar to put a specific period of time in which to do something. So if you have an e-zine or e-newsletter that goes out, putting that on your calendar each week that it needs to go out. Okay, or if it's for marketing, or maybe your phone calls. I know a recruiter firm, and they do all the phone calls. They make their phone calls in the morning. They return their phone calls in the afternoon. One of the things that I think a lot of times people will also do is they'll play telephone tag. So for some of you, what you might be thinking, wait a minute, I'll always be playing phone tag with somebody and never be able to get a hold of them if that's the case. Well, not always. If you find that there's a lot of phone tag, one thing that I do that works really efficiently is I will leave a voicemail or an email and say, okay, we've been playing phone tag. This is three times. How about, you know, I have this and this time tomorrow. Do any of these times meet with you? And I will always get a response back. I really honestly cannot remember when I didn't get a response back that said, yeah, that time works perfect. And we make it a point to call at that time, and we get in touch with each other. It works almost every time. So if you find yourself playing phone tag with somebody, put that out there, give them a few times during the day or the following day, and see if you can schedule that specific time. The fourth scheduling error that a lot of people make is they don't consolidate. Think about all those things that you can consolidate. Maybe it's your bills. And I know sometimes when a bill comes in, you want to pay it right away. Some people want to pay it right away. Some people want to wait until the very last minute to pay it. But think about how to systematize even your bill paying, or systematize a schedule or an errand. How can you regularly systematize things? And again, make that, it becomes a habit after a while, but when you systematize it, when it gets on your calendar. Now, there's a lot of people that will have children as well, and so a lot of times I've talked to my clients who have children, and I've suggested that they have one calendar, and they absolutely love that idea. Why? Because they schedule family time, all their kids' events, and they know exactly how much time and energy they have because they have one common calendar for work and for business. And it allows them to gauge just how much they would commit to, whether it's volunteer work, because, you know, invariably people will ask you, hey, do you know, we'd love for you to volunteer. Well, this allows them to gauge whether or not that's even a possibility that they can do. So, again, if you have that personal calendar, have a lot of kids, or extracurricular activities, again, put that in your calendar. The fifth scheduling error is people don't outsource. So I want you to think about, I've got a couple of questions I want you to think about. The first one is, what things do you do each day? What things do you do each day that are not directly related to your business? What things do you do each day that are not related directly related to your business? The second question about, especially about outsourcing, what could you pay someone to do these things? Even if it's for 15 minutes, 1 hour, you'd be surprised about all the different tasks and activities that you do now that's not related to any revenue generating activities that you could outsource in an hour, and they could all get done within 1 hour if you clustered them, if you grouped them and realized just how much that would be. So think about that. How much could you pay for somebody to do these things? Now remember, you know, think about all your resources. You know, it could be a stay-at-home mom who wants some things to do. It could be an intern at the local college. It could be somebody who is computer savvy who wants the experience on their resume. Maybe a college student or somebody even in high school. So these are the things that you can think about. Maybe it's, you know, your hang-up is social media, even though that's maybe directly related to your marketing, but that's something that if you outsource to somebody who could really navigate your social media very quickly for you on your behalf, that would free up a lot of time. Maybe it takes you twice as much time and you could outsource that. And you know, think about what you can outsource, those administratives, those errands. And the next question is, what boundaries do you need to set up for yourself? In terms of maybe emails, like picking up your emails every time you get one, or can you check your email two or three times a day, if that's possible for you? Don't set limitations, though. Remember, is there an automated process that you need to be maybe put in before you can, you know, check that three times a day? So, for example, you know, some people that have customer service where you need to, you know, respond right away, or you feel you need to respond right away, think about how could that be automated that would give you, that would still respond to them and give you additional time so you can check your email, you know, maybe three times a day or two times a day. So what boundaries do you need to set up for yourself? What systems do you need to set up for yourself? And boundaries and emails and phone calls. Do you get phone calls from, you know, the mom or the mother-in-law during the day while you're trying to focus on your business, especially at-home businesses? You know, maybe they even call your cell phone. Do you have to set a boundary for when you will receive those phone calls? The other, you know, and also internet distractions. Maybe what you do is also if you get these emails that are not directly related to your business, but may help you perhaps in marketing your business, or there's somebody that you follow that you really enjoy, maybe not during the normal workday, but you put them in a folder to review them at, you know, some recreational time. Other time that's not directly related to the marketing or to revenue generating activities. So again, think about the boundaries you need to set with others or yourself. And the sixth scheduling error that people make is they underestimate the amount of time that things take. Now this is particularly prevalent with people that are more the high sense of urgencies, the people that are jugglers, that want things quick, that have the quick pace. They're typically working on multiple things. They have that high sense of urgency, but they also underestimate the amount of time that it takes. So they end up scrambling because they haven't allotted enough time. So if you are naturally wired this way, what do you do? If you're naturally wired this way, then think about adding additional time to your proposals, additional time to your schedule, and the amount of. And then if you think, well, that's probably going to take me a day, double it. And if you have extra time, even better. But left over, even better. But think about adding time, because you naturally are wired to think that way, that it takes less time than it actually does. Now, this brings in the next piece, which is some behavior-based reasons why you may not be focused, and there are some tools that I'm also going to provide to you today, or some ways of doing things differently to not only help you get your natural motivators met, but also tools that are going to help you to move your business forward. Now, for many people, and I'm going to split up some of these traits up. Now, for the people that are naturally wired to be more of the team orientation, they are going to be about the team. They're going to need people interaction. They may be a little risk averse. They inherently need people to bounce ideas off of. If they don't have the people to bounce ideas off of, it's very difficult for them to move their business forward. So what do you do? What tools or things do you use or implement? The most effective one is to find either a mastermind group of some sort, whether you put that together, of people. If you don't know of any, then ask around, get to know people. Confidential groups. And a mastermind group is a confidential group that helps you sort of think through ideas. That's often helpful for people that need a team around them. You could also look for a mentor, somebody who's been in business for a while, that you have regular meetings with. And that's typically good for somebody who is really needs that team orientation, is more of a, not a real big risk taker, and that will help them talk through their ideas, remove any boundaries or risks associated with their ideas. Conversely, you have the people that are more of the, you know, the go-getters, the independent expediters who need results. Now, the reasons they may not be focused is they may be de-energized, especially if they don't see a lot of results. A good way to engage this kind of motivational driver, this person who's more the go-getter, is to use your business blueprint for those of you who've been through the Entrepreneurial Edge system. If you haven't, then it's necessary for you to make sure you have very clear metrics about your business and can gauge those metrics. But sometimes when you're not getting the results, you still have to identify the progress that you're making and some of those things that you've achieved to stay motivated. So what's important is if you have a vision board or if you have a metric that is a continuous gauge, and not only the financial metric, but metrics that will help gauge how close you are in getting your financial metric met. So, for example, maybe you need to put in your marketing systems. Okay, check that off the list. And so because independent expediters, those go-getters, are very tangible in nature, they want to see results. They need to see results. So it's really great for them to be able to have those metrics that they can check off on their dashboard. And then, of course, when they're doing well too, they get to see those metrics on an ongoing basis. And again, I would recommend the metrics for any business, but it's especially important for people that are those independent expediters, those real go-getters who need to see the tangible result. Internal thinkers need their think time. So remember that if you need to schedule some think time on your calendar, and also shift the way you work. A lot of times internal thinkers, by their nature, if you've had too much social interaction, it's very de-energizing for you. You actually become more energized when you've had time to think, time to go into your head. So remember each day that you need that time to remotivate and make sure you give yourself that time. External thinkers, on the other hand, those promoters, those extroverts, they need people interaction, and in fact, you will seek it out. So mastermind groups are good, networking, social interaction, those are ways to stay motivated. If you don't get those met, you'll become unfocused. So remember to get those needs met, but also, and to get a lot of that social interactions. But again, you might have the tendency of getting unfocused. One of the tools, again, I go back to is the business blueprint, that you make time to take a look at your business blueprint and be very clear on who your ideal customers are. You naturally, promoters too, naturally want to help other people, and sometimes they can get really lost and unfocused, simply because they're too engaged in the social interaction. So remember to at least take time out of your weekly, on a regular basis, take a look at your business blueprint to see what direction you're going into and how you're spending your time. People who are more the jugglers, the quick, the process, you're going to want to make sure that you either hire a professional organizer or you get some internal system to keep you focused. A lot of times people that are jugglers by their nature, you know, even if you're a promoter, you can get very disorganized very quickly. So it's important to have an internal system that keeps you organized. So if you open up a folder, where does it go once you close? So once you have that system in place, it's getting there. And one of the tools to use is potentially a professional organizer to at least help you get there and get an internal system fit for you. But process-oriented individuals, the ones that are the relationship builders, but they're very orderly in process, they're going to compartmentalize. And sometimes they get off, in tangents or unfocused, especially if their vision is unclear to them. So it's very important for people that are orderly and process-oriented to have a very clear vision of what they're working toward. It has to be very clear to them, and their steps and phases have to be set out. So making lists is important to you to stay focused, and making sure you don't get so mired in the details, but you also look at the big picture, and that's where your vision will help you. If you're more unstructured in your hardwiring, get an assistant. That's the tool I recommend. If it's a big portion of your job, that could also be the reason why you're unfocused. People that naturally are unstructured, that don't need a lot of information to make decisions, they fly by the seat of their pants. Oftentimes, though, they need to hire, they need to outsource things like, you know, their CPAs or their accountants, because they're not going to have the patience to enter all that information, and nor should they. They're not wired that way, and it's something that can be outsourced very easily. The structured people, you need to delegate more. And so you can become unfocused because you're mired in the detail and you don't outsource to other people. So it's necessary to delegate, but your business blueprint will help keep you focused. So if you're structured, that business blueprint will keep you will help keep you focused also on the big picture, but also lays out things and also compartmentalizes, which is helpful for people that need a lot of information, those examiners, to help compartmentalize. Are the activities they're working on money-generating and client-generating activities? And that'll give you a quick snapshot so that you can do that, evaluation or assessment. But no matter how you're naturally wired, you're going to run into time management, especially when you're getting involved in committees, volunteer work, with your clients. You're going to have meetings. Now, a lot of people over the years have asked me, they've attended my meetings, how do you stay so on time, you know? and it's not rigid, it's allowing people to express themselves, but it is having a parameter that people work within. And when you set these expectations for meetings, it's amazing how much can get done. And when you systematize the process, it's amazing how things get done. So what I'm going to share with you today is what I call agenda management. It's actually a productivity tool that will help you facilitate more meaningful and productive meetings. Again, whether it's with your clients, with even your prospects, could be a prospect. One of the things that I do in my laser coaching calls that many of you have taken advantage of is I'll say, how do you want to use your time? Okay? I'm setting up an expectation. Now, this is sort of like agenda management. I'm setting up an expectation that how do you want to manage your time? And when it's about ready to conclude, the session's about ready to conclude, I will ask, what are your takeaways from today? Giving a signal to the person that we're rounding out this conversation. That's especially helpful, especially if you are working with somebody who's more of a promoter or that extrovert. They will tend to live stream, so they'll think their thoughts out loud, and they need to do that to resolve it. But they can also tend to be wordy. So what's important is, in order to manage that time, you set that expectation, and you might need to ask the question earlier. Like, for example, you might say, what are your takeaways today? Maybe it's not 1 minute to go in the conversation. It's more like 3 minutes to go in the conversation, and they'll take all 3 minutes to tell you what their takeaways were. So again, it depends on their behavioral traits, and who you're working with will determine how you manage the agenda. But what I'm going to show you now, again, is in the document library of the Success Circle. It's called Agenda Management. And I'm just going to go over the process and the structure of setting an agenda. Now, when you set an agenda, there's a couple things to remember. You want to identify start and end times. You want to identify, say, an address where the event is being held, the meeting room, a suite number, maybe the name of the meeting. What's the meeting called, or is it the committee meeting? What committee is it? You also want to develop a written purpose statement so that everybody knows why they're attending. What's the purpose of the meeting? Okay. You know, nothing ruins a, you know, committee's, you know, efforts with, you know, especially if they don't have that meaningful purpose. And if it's not set up, if it's not described, it's difficult then to create any focus in that particular meeting or in that particular meeting. You want to also identify any objectives that you have with that particular meeting. So, the purpose of the meeting is to discuss, you know, volunteers. Our objectives are we're going to talk about this, this, and this. All right, those are the things that you maybe want to resolve or need to discuss. Maybe it's approve this year's budget or go over this proposal or whatever those key points are that need to be resolved or discussed during that meeting. You then want to determine, so it's ideal though if you can send out that agenda ahead of time. Now, one of the things that I also recommend is that you also set meeting times. And by setting meeting times, I don't mean, you know, we'll take 15 minutes for this and 14 minutes for that. And some people put like 15 minutes. I suggest putting the actual times. And I'll get to the reason why. When you set actual times to a meeting in a time frame and who's responsible for that particular time frame, it helps the timekeeper, which is one of the roles I'm going to discuss, to keep track of the time. So if your meeting starts at 9 a.m. and somebody's going to be talking from 9:05 to 9:15, you put 9:05 to 9:15. And the reason for that is when time is up or almost time is up, it's the role of the timekeeper to say we've only got 5 minutes or 2 minutes left on this subject, and then their role is to determine do we go on with this discussion or do we wrap it up. Okay, this is the role of the timekeeper, and it's an important role because it keeps the group not only on time and focused, but they have permission to interrupt the group and let them know what's our decision point here. Are we going to move on or are we going to stop here on this discussion? And if you decide to move on, then what's the next step? All right, that gets recorded by the recorder. That's another role. And the recorder takes minutes and they're responsible for getting the notes out within a certain period of time. Now, it's important to establish what that period of time is. Is it 24 hours? Now, that's going to work in a committee meeting, but is this going to work in a client meeting? Well, it might. You might say, okay, what I'll do is I'll, you know, the recorder, maybe there's only two people. One's the timekeeper, one's the recorder. And then you take notes and you get that back. And maybe it's the result of a proposal that you're going to be doing. But either way, you've set a time up, or an expectation of when something else is due, when the next step is due. Now, if it's a traditional committee, you're going to write down what the action step is, who's taking it, and when they're going to get it done. Always define a timeline with it, because if you don't define a timeline, it doesn't get done. And so that's going to be important to have also, is what are the list of to-do items. And then if you really truly have a committee meeting, there's always going to be a leader who owns a process and maybe removes any barriers for groups. So if you're working for a larger, working in a larger, with a larger organization, the leader of the group is going to be the person who's ultimately responsible for the success or failure of that particular committee. The facilitator is the person who moves things along. So they're going to ensure everybody has had a chance to speak. They're going to keep the group focused. If there's something that people get off tangent about, they're going to create what's called a parking lot list. And you know how sometimes you know, conversations evolve and you get on this tangent. It's really good, but hey, this is not the purpose of our meeting. You put that on a parking lot list and those get transcribed into the notes. What's nice about that is the idea and the person is acknowledged for coming up with that idea. It's just beyond the scope of that particular discussion. It gets put it and recorded in the notes for inclusion in a later agenda. It's also important to for the facilitator to at some point identify some ground rules, especially if your committee, even if you're meeting with a client, to define some ground rules. If you're coaching somebody, you know, they meet, you know, maybe a ground rule that both agree to are, you know, maybe confidentiality. Maybe the ground rule is when you're going to meet, what time you're going to meet, what if they don't call, what happens, is it counted as a call? So there's some ground rules and accountabilities that are set up. And maybe you participate fully. Maybe you turn cell phones off. These are all ground rules that are numbered. And when someone violates that particular ground rule, that number is pointed out. So if somebody's cell phone goes off, say, okay, we don't have number 3, which is to turn off all the cell phones. And so it's a nice way of keeping the group on task, whoever you're working with, keeping the time efficient. One thing people have always said about the meetings that I facilitated is we start on time, we get out on time. And I try to make it a point not to rehash or recover things that we've already covered in the meeting for the new person who came in late. They came in late, they came in late. They don't get an update. It holds the rest of the group back, and it's not fair to the rest of the group. Now, whether or not you decide to do that is up to you, but that's kind of the how I facilitate meetings. And they're productive. They get out on time. Everybody knows at the very end of the meeting that who needs to do what, because it's very clearly defined. If there's a next step, who's going to do it? When are they going to do it? And, you know, what's the desired outcome? And then it gets continuously updated. Now, there's times where, you know, this goes back to the ground rules, but there's times where you're not going to always have agreement. It's ideal, but maybe you need to develop some consensus where maybe not everybody completely agrees. However, they have consensus that they can support the decision, that they've agreed to support the decision, so you can move on. But it's important to also discuss any disagreements in the meeting, but that if you have a ground rule that there is consensus, that it gets supported. Because, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, gee, yeah, and they'll agree in a meeting, but then they go out and they say, well, I didn't agree to that. and then everything blows up and you have, you know, this infighting that happens. So what's important is that you look at the ground rule and you reinforce it by saying, okay, there was some disagreement, everybody got their say, but now as a consensus, we're all going to support this decision. Now, there are some other types of things that you can do as a committee when you have a vote. Is it 2/3 vote? Is it majority vote? It's important to clarify that ahead of time, especially if you belong to any boards. What's in the board minutes, or, you know, the board manual, if you go by any manual, so that's important to know. One of the things, just to give you an idea of how I structure a meeting and how it goes something like this. Usually for the first 2 minutes, I will clarify the meeting objectives, I'll identify meeting roles, and I'll review the agenda. So I'll share with you right now exactly how I do it. You know, welcome to the, well, I'll just use a hypothetical. I'll use the same hypothetical that's in the document library for agenda management. It's a recruitment committee meeting, and the objective was to identify recruitment process issues, identify potential pitfalls, and discuss solutions in the recruitment process. So here's how I would conduct the meeting. Welcome everybody to the recruitment committee meeting. The purpose of the meeting or the objective is we need to identify our current recruitment process. We need to identify any potential pitfalls in that process, and we need to discuss some solutions to our recruitment process. We need a timekeeper. Who's going to volunteer to be timekeeper? And usually somebody will volunteer. If somebody doesn't volunteer after a short period of silence, then go ahead and pick somebody. And who would like to be the note taker, and then you get somebody to volunteer. If you've never before announced what the roles are of the timekeeper and the note taker, now is the time. So it might be something like this. Okay, thanks for being the timekeeper. The role of the timekeeper is to keep us on time, so when we have about 1 minute to go or 2 minutes to go in the conversation, you have the authority to stop us and let us know whether or not we should continue with the conversation or we need to stop and go on to the next agenda item. You get confirmation. The role of the note taker is to take all the notes, the next steps, who needs to do what, and then complete that within 24 to 48 hours. Would you be able to commit on doing that? And then you get either a yes or no from the individual who's responsible for the taking notes. If the person says, no, I'm not going to be able to get it done in 48 hours, then you might want to select somebody who does. And that's it. Then you go on. Okay, next one. Let's review the agenda. The first one is we need to identify our recruitment process. Okay, and then you go on to the agenda and you start discussing each of the agenda items. About the end of the meeting, about 15 minutes to go, usually the last 15 minutes, I like to evaluate the meeting. And so at the end of a meeting, say something like, okay, so, and then just repeat all of the different to-do items. So, Jane, you're going to do this, and Bob, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this by this and this date, correct? Are we all on the same page? So you use the last couple of minutes to always go through the to-do items and make sure everyone's on the same page or that, you know, you've captured all the to-do items. The next piece is that you evaluate the meeting. What went well? What did you like? And what would you change? And I use a delta, you know, triangle for that, which is what would you change? And things might come out like, we need to change the meeting time. We need to, you know, it'd be nice if we had coffee at this meeting. Again, the idea is not to, it's continuous improvement. If things are possible, great. If they're not, then, you know, maybe you ask for a volunteer if you're trying to cut expenses or whatever, if you can't have goodies there or whatever. So you work through the what went well and what you would change. And the idea for that is if there's something that really needs to be changed, we change it. And if there, and it reinforces all the things that did go well. And then you conclude the meeting, ideally on time. And then that's it. That's going to save you not only a ton of time, but also very much a lot more productive. Now, you can modify this version. So if you're meeting with a client, say, okay, now the purpose of our meeting is to discuss what? And that's, again, the how do you want to use your time? And then what are some of your takeaways? Well, again, that can be asking a client, just like the to-do items. So you wouldn't ask your client maybe, you know, we need to do this and this and this. Maybe it's a situation where there are some takeaways. So those are some nice ways, too, to see if you're on task, on the right page, and on the same page, too, with your client. Let's see. What else do I need to cover here? And so, just trying to make sure I covered all that. And So remember that in the Success Circle document libraries, the agenda management, it also has a format that you can use for your meetings that identifies the times. It's kind of a little chart in a way to set up your specific agenda. And then it also gives you the template of what you send out. There's nothing worse than sending out an agenda without the location, the exact location. And when I mean the exact location, a lot of times people will put an address, but they won't say, oh, but we're in the X conference room. And so people are walking around a building aimlessly trying to figure out where their meeting is. So as much specificity that you can put on to an agenda, it's important to do that. Ideally, it's nice to send out an agenda at least 2 to 3 days, possibly depending on what needs to be done or what the purpose of the meeting is, a bigger lead time than that, a week, for several reasons. Number one, so that if this is a secondary meeting and people needed to, you know, maybe drop the ball on some things that they should have gotten done, they'll have time to get it done, number one. Number two, for those people that need their think time, this gives them an opportunity to come prepared to the meeting. And so when they have an agenda ahead of time, they're going to look at it. Those detail-oriented individuals, those examiners, those internal thinkers, they want to collect their thoughts. And so it's important to have that agenda set out in enough time where people have time to really think about ideas, especially if it's idea generation, if it's a meeting regarding idea generation, like, you know, we're going to discuss this new product or discuss this. And it gives them an opportunity to not only collect their thoughts, but examiners are going to want to do research on it. And so use the traits to the group's advantage. So give enough information for the examiners to be able to do some lead work. And bring that to the meeting. I'm going to open it up real quick. If any of you have any questions, you can feel free to ask. I know I covered a lot in a very short period of time, but we have a few minutes, so I'm going to open it up real quick and see if there's any questions.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
Does anybody have any questions? Certainly there's got to be one question out there. Remember that if you've already muted your phone, *6 to mute, *6, I think it's *6 to unmute. Any questions?
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves.
Okay. Well, if there's no questions, I think that's about it. For those of you, remember that we have March 4th, the big networking event in Michigan, if you are local. If you're not, we are the Seal the Deal program. I am looking to record that. Maybe not that live event, but I am going to be doing a webinar. So for those of you who are not local that do want to tap into that, we are going to schedule a webinar on Sealing the Deal 98% of the time. So don't get disappointed because we are going to. But if you are going to join us for the networking event, again, it's http://tinyurl.com/network121. And I look forward to seeing you all there. Have a great evening, everyone. And if any of you have any questions about today's high content call, feel free to email info@accelerateassociates.com. That's EXCELLERATE associates.com. And we'll be sure to get your questions answered on the Q&A call. because I know some of you are internal thinkers, so you're going to need to think about today's session, and so feel free to email me those questions. With that, I believe that's it, and I hope you all have a great evening, and until next time, create a great life. Bye, guys.